plate a potential nugget.
So talk to us about what those 6 months looked and felt like in terms of your time and attention. You had a business to run. So how did you, I'm curious about how, you know, in a way, how do you water a new plant when you're sitting under a tree, right?
So it was actually not even 6 months. I would say because from 2012 to 2016, I did both my job as well as this. But yes, the initial 6 months were very, very exciting because I'm telling you, the first open mic I did, you know, the laughter which you get and the claps which you get, and you don't get sleep for sometimes three days, those resonate in your ears. I'm genuinely telling you, you know. And so I suddenly from that first open mic, it became damn energetic. I used to probably wake up earlier, you know, do my job even more better at my IT job, because I knew in the evening I had to go for a gig or attend a gig, because I started liking this. Now I started knowing which are the other open mics happening, where comedy shows are happening. Other comedians started knowing me. They used to say, hey, I have a gig in Bandra next Thursday. Do you want to come and do 10 minutes? I said, yeah, sure, man. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Then that next gig, you're preparing for it. And, you know, obviously not during your work time, but, when you're driving to work, when you're coming back from work, or when you're exercising, or you're going to the gym, you know, when you're going on a treadmill, that 45 minutes to 1 hour, what you get, I used my walking time or my jogging time a lot for my thoughts, or my cycling. I used to go for cycling also a lot. So, it's a different kind of a drug altogether. And so that really kept me going. Just the excitement of going again on stage, maybe bombing, maybe not doing well, coming back again. So that really kept me this. And I, as I said, you know, right from the beginning, thanks to also, again, I'm saying to Wipro. And I'm now again, why I'm going to Wipro is because at that time, Wipro in 2010 started this Six Sigma quality project. You know, it was a Motorola driven quality. I'm sure six defects, or I think 3.67 defects in every 1 million operations that Six Sigma did. Yeah, it's a Japanese thing. A Motorola,
started it, and then GE also popularized it with Six Sigma.
But I think now they've said it's a failed concept. It doesn't work any longer. I don't know, whatever. Yeah. So I used to take part in a lot of Six Sigma projects, and one of the projects which I took on was on time also. Like how, you know, quickly you respond to mails, how quickly you respond to an inquiry for, you know, so you do a lot of these projects. And as channel partners of Wipro, we were also told to take projects, you know, because we were in more or less the extended arm of Wipro. And so for me, time was always very, very, and like till today, I like every meeting of mine, everything of the, I think time is the biggest resource, is the most expensive resource we have. We should not waste it. So like, I really look down on people who don't come, you know, who come late on the appointments, or who don't call up. I'll call you back in 15 minutes. They never call you back. I judge them, telling you. And because I'm a stickler for time. So thanks to this stickling for time, and probably right from initial age, I used to do a lot of, I used to run both the horses, ride both the horses. So, I remember initially I used to get gigs like in Delhi, you know, for example, initially when you're starting out, you get a corporate gig in Delhi on a Friday. But hey, I run the company. How can I leave on a Friday morning? So I remember I should take the 4 o'clock flight out of Bombay to Delhi, reach Delhi at 6:30, and then rush to the show. Then wake up early morning next day at 5:30, take the early morning flight from Delhi back to Bombay, straight into office, and work the whole day. And again in the evening, probably go for some other gig in Bombay. I remember, those are the days where, you know, I should not see my children for like, you know, 4 or 5 days altogether, you know, because by the time you come back late, they're already sleeping because they have school or college the next day, you know. So, yeah. Sure. So all these things used to, so I think time really helped me. I used to really manage time well. And when you look at it, you know, honestly, even in comedy, when you look at it, time is very, very important. As I said earlier, people who don't know stand-up comedy, when you go to watch a comedy show, there are three artists. Each of us is given a time. Okay, you got 30 minutes on stage. Now, believe me, if you go from 30 to 31st minute also, if you overrun your time by 1 minute also, a professional comedy club can, you know, will reprimand you, will scold you that why the hell did you go for 1 minute extra? You know, he said, dude, they were enjoying 1 minute. Doesn't make it. No, dude, 1 minute makes a difference, because your 1 minute, somebody else has 2 minutes. It's a 10-minute extension to a show. People have plans. They have come with a plan. Mm. The show must start on time, must end on time. It's not about you. It's about the entire show. So that you know, so time is very, very crucial in comedy, which a lot of, unfortunately, some of the junior comedians still today don't appreciate or don't understand the value of that. So I think time played an important role. So the 6 minutes, the earliest, coming back to your question, the first 6 months from April to, I would say, October, a lot of excitement. You know, it's like a new baby, and you know, you're so excited. You want to, it's a new car you have bought. You want to ride it every day, drive it every day, sorry. So it was that kind of a, you know, drugs or nasha, what you call it. Waking up, you know, writing new material, going and performing, seeing it's not working, working. You know, it's a different life I saw, because 25 years, you know, you have your own set of ecosystem, your orbit, as you call it, you know, your orbit of your suppliers, your vendors, your Wipro, your principal, your chartered accountant, income tax, you know, your employees, you know, that's the thing. Now I was getting into a different orbit or different ecosystem where there are comedians, there are comedy club owners, there is an audience who's paying you, you know. There is, there are the light man, the sound guy, you know, those suddenly become very important to you than anybody else. So that was, and also you have to realize that most of the comedians, even today, the average age, I think, of most stand-up, of the stand-up comedians in India must be, I think, 24, 25, you know. Wow. They were half my age, and that time though they were even younger. So, I mean, I should, you know, work with, you know, comedians sometimes as old as my children age, you know, like, so hanging around with them, going, you know, going for dinner after a show with them. And, you know, the night before, I have this joke which I say, the one night before I'm having dinner with my 40 plus CEO friends, and when the bill comes, you know, we're having a fight. You know, take my card, you know, let me pay. We're all throwing a credit card inside. You know? Next day, I'm having dinner with these all these young comedians, and the bill comes, you know, we have a different kind of a fight. You know, sir, I don't need 2 rotis, this is my 60 rupees. You know, I had 1 scoop of dal, this is my 10 rupees. You know, so I won't pay GST. Why should I pay GST? Why should I pay service charge? You know, so all these things used to happen. It was a very funny riding boat, you know, thing. But I'm so glad, you know, it gave me a new life. I started, my wife started feeling I'm becoming more a happier person, because I used to wake up with a lot of excitement, you know.
I really like the point Atul makes around him becoming better at his business post stand-up. Let me play that piece again.
I used to probably wake up earlier, you know, do my job even more better at my IT job, because I knew in the evening I had to go for a gig or attend a gig, because I started liking this.
I do think we lead an integrated life, and how we do in one domain impacts the other. One of my earlier guests, Stu Friedman of Wharton, who's researched work-life integration for several years, speaks about the notion of psychological spillover, where we take our mood and energy from one domain to another. Do tune into the podcast conversation with Stu Friedman if this is of interest. Thank you for listening. If you're enjoying this conversation, you might also like my conversation with Papa CJ, another stand-up comedian who transitioned from a career in management consulting to discovering stand-up. You might also like the way Amish Tripathi transitioned from a career in financial services to writing, or how Atul Kasbekar transition from studying chemical engineering to becoming a photographer and subsequently a producer. You might also like the playlist Reinventing Self, where several leaders speak about how they thought about their journeys when they were at crossroads. To access this, just go to playtopotential.com and go to the curated playlist section.